You are Locked On the NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello, everyone. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL podcast. This is the flagship of the Locked On Podcast Network on the NFL side. We bring you your team every day, and you know what? We're the number one local sports daily podcast network in the world right now. We are booming. And a big reason we're booming is folks like Marcus Mosher, who does Locked On Cowboys. And as we do every Sunday, we bring on three folks from the network and just talk about their teams and what we saw on Sunday. So, Marcus, how are you?
I'm doing well, Matt. How are you?
I'm good. I got to say, I'm a little rattled after that Steeler loss that happened a couple minutes ago, and my talk show during the week is going to be buzzing, to say the least, although I don't have to listen to angry fans on Monday and Tuesday because of the holidays, so I will just have some Yuletide joy instead and come back on Wednesday.
Yeah, well, the Steeler season comes down to the Cleveland Browns. How weird is that to say?
Right, right, and you know, we'll see. The Browns are playing pretty well, so it's not over yet.
It's not over.
Times are better for Dallas. I mean, after a rough week 15, they come back and they win the division.
They do, and it wasn't the best game the Cowboys have played all season, but hey, you'll take it. The Cowboys, after being 3-5, have come back to be 9-6, won the division. Now they can rest guys. It looks like they're probably going to play Seattle in the first round, and you know what? That's a matchup they're really excited to have in Dallas. I think that, you know, they can win that game. So it was a really weird season for the Cowboys this year. You know, it was one of the seasons where started out slowly, then the Amari Cooper trade kind of just picked things up, and they just look like a totally different team since.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think every Cowboy fan isn't going to miss that first round pick because Amari's around, and it's going to be at least 20th or later.
Right. And that's the thing is the Amari Cooper trade allowed you to get in the playoffs. And like Bill Parcells always says, get in the tournament. Weird things happen. Cowboy fans have to be really excited about this 2018 team.
Let's start today with the offense, with Amari's side of the ball. I think you used the word uneven, and I think that's fitting on that side of the ball. But it goes to show when Dak doesn't make mistakes, even on Zeke and Amari's not best day, it's their formula keeps them in games.
Absolutely. Listen, Tampa Bay is not a very good team. Watch them all season long. They're just not very good. So it was a little disappointing for the Cowboys that, you know, they had 17 points at halftime and really 10 of them were because of the defense. So not a great game, but listen, Dallas's offense did what they needed to do. They didn't turn the ball over. Dak Prescott was 20 of 25. He kept the chains moving. That's what they need from Prescott. They don't need him to be a superstar every week. He just can't be the reason they lose games. Today was another example of him managing the game. I know when we say game managing quarterback, there's a certain stereotype or stigma that comes with it. In this case, Prescott did what he needed to do to help him win the game. They won the division. You can't be angry about that performance at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned that, you know, Tampa is not a great team, and I'm not going to say they are, but at least one thing I think our Tampa fans listening can get a little excited about is their first-round pick, Vita Vea. He's starting to step up and had a big game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He had a couple of really nice rushes on Zach Martin. He should have had two sacks in this game. One got taken back by a face mask. But the combination of Vea and Gerald McCoy, they destroyed the Cowboys offensive line today. So there's one thing to take away from the season. I know a lot of people, you know, made fun of them for the Vea pick because, you know, taking a run stuffing defensive tackle in the top 12 is always weird. But man, he is going to be a star in the NFL.
He's a force. Now, the pass rush wasn't too shabby on the other side either. I mean, 9 sacks, as we usually see, a lot of stunting. Lawrence is obviously a difference maker, getting interior pressure now even more than from what I recall. The pass defense, I thought, overall was absolutely huge. Picks, a defensive touchdown, 2 big defensive turnovers. And you saw Byron Jones on Evans from what I saw much of the game. And Evans, you know, put up numbers, but Jones is a number one corner.
Right, and most of Evans' stats came kind of in the last drive of the game, and a lot of zone coverage and the prevent defense. It was a really good matchup to go back and watch these guys. It was a super physical one. Evans caught him on a deep ball early on in the game. Other than that, Byron did a pretty good job. So this is the reason why the Cowboys moved Byron Jones to cornerback. They wanted a guy on the outside that had the athleticism and the size to match up with a guy like Mike Evans mm-hmm. or Alshon Jeffrey and at least slow them down. And that's what Byron did today.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's your initial thoughts on Seattle? You mentioned them. I do think that's going to be the matchup. It's going to be in Dallas, 4 seed against 5 seed. Sort of a similar recipe, though. I mean, I think Dallas has the much better defense, but probably the team that runs the ball better will get the W.
Absolutely. So these two teams played in the third week of the season. Seattle beat them barely, but that was a game that Earl Thomas took over. He's obviously not going to be there. That was in Seattle. We know that Seattle is just not the same team when they have to travel and go play on the road. I don't expect that to be a very high scoring game. I expect it to be, you know, one of these games that's probably 16 to 13 going into the last 5 minutes of the game. I think it's a team that Dallas can match up really well against. Russell Wilson has not had a lot of success against a Rod Marinelli defense over his career. It's not the worst matchup in the world for Dallas.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, I probably will pick them to win it. I haven't given a whole lot of thought. I'm sure we both concede Seattle is the better quarterback, but I think Dallas has the better defense by a pretty wide margin. And KC Seattle is about to kick off, so I haven't watched that yet. I'm sure some of you have before you've listened to this. My hunch is there's going to be a lot of points in that game, and I think Seattle's D isn't as great as people think.
No, their defense is really held together by Bobby Wagner. If you can make plays on the outside at their cornerbacks or at their safeties, you can actually put up a lot of points against Seattle. We'll see what Dallas does. We'll see how healthy their offensive line is going into the playoffs. I kind of expect Tyron Smith and Zach Martin to get week 17 off. They've been just playing about 75-80%. If the Cowboys have a healthy offensive line going into the playoffs, I think they can be a dangerous team. I really do.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. It's a very, very good defense. Marcus, you're very good at what you do. Besides the Locked On Cowboys podcast, which everyone should definitely check out, tell everyone where to find you, and then I want to tell everyone about our friends over at MyBookie.
Doing stuff at the Athletic, DFW, Fansided, Pro Football Weekly, the Raiders Wire, a little bit of everything over the next couple of weeks. So just make sure you stay tuned to my Twitter, @Marcus_Mosier, and you'll see all those links.
Awesome. Folks, like I said, I mean, watching football is fun. You Dallas fans, I'm sure, had a lot of fun today, have a lot to be excited about going into the playoffs. But it's even more entertaining when you have some action on the games. And I've been telling you about this for weeks, and some of you are still on the sidelines. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. I like saying that over and over. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. And if you're the type of guy that likes to take a little risks and win bet a little to win a lot, like playing the numbers in roulette or anything like that, you can create a big parlay. Like if you pick three teams to win and you hit all three, you could turn $100 into $600. So there's so much to bet on now, too. I mean, hockey, basketball, college sports, esports, of course, the NFL, bowl games coming up, you name it. So MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. And I only recommend these folks because I really trust them. I mean, I've been telling you about them for weeks. MyBookie has been in business for years. They've got great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. So sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. That's free money, guys, so make sure you do that. Also, make sure you follow @BetMyBookie on Twitter. Which is cool here is they personally respond to every mention and direct message, not to mention they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers, their Twitter followers, this football season. So you'll be the first to know as soon as odds and props are posted as well. So don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet and on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now and use our promo code LOCKEDON25, that's LOCKEDON25, to get 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, we are back with the hostess of the Locked On Giants podcast, Patricia Trania, I'm sorry. Patricia, what do you think? What do you think of your Giants right now? It's an interesting team.
Yeah, it is. for 55 minutes, they actually looked like they were the one that was For 55 minutes, they actually looked like a team that was knocking on the playoff door as opposed to a team that was out of it. Unfortunately, as has been the case all too often this season, the Giants could not finish the game out. They gave up a couple of big plays at the end there. They weren't able to make the plays that they needed to on offense. And here we are again. We're writing about what could have been a win, but was a loss.
Yeah, it's funny. I have that note here that from what I saw of the game, I thought they were the better team for most of the game. And a difficult situation against a team that's won 8 of their last 9. Give the Colts a lot of credit. They're very well coached. They have an excellent quarterback. They didn't give up. And if I'm Giants fans, I wouldn't look at this as a major disappointment. I mean, I think this is a step in the right direction to getting back to being a solid competitive team.
Absolutely. I think if the Giants make a few moves on the defensive side of the ball, on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, offense, I think, you know, get a right tackle in there, you know, add another receiver in there. On the defensive side, they only managed, I think, one sack, but they were getting after Andrew Luck there, but you know, something changed there in the second half where the Colts adjusted. So, you know, get some additional talent there, especially on the back end, and you could be cooking with gas next year if you're the Giants.
Yeah, let's talk more about, a little bit more about this game, and then I want to talk about next year a little bit too. I mean, I thought the Colts did a really good job of bottling up Saquon Barkley, and I think we can't overlook that Odell hasn't played for a while. I mean, is Barkley and Beckham central as this offense has been, I thought it was great to see Engram look like he did last year. Shepard had a really good game. So some other dudes are stepping up.
Yeah, they did. And I think a big part of it that, you know, we also got to tip our hats to is the game plan. I mean, Pat Shurmur against this Colts defense, which is a very good defense. I don't have to tell you that. They get after the quarterback. And
yeah, they do.
Shurmur actually had Eli Manning rolling out, running some naked boots. You know, he threw in some jet sweeps there. I mean, he did all kinds of neat things that put those Colts defenders back on their heels. And, you know, the other thing I think we were able to see more play action from Eli Manning. And, you know, look, people – you know, they're going to complain about Eli Manning being a statue, which I think he showed is not the case. He was able to move around a lot in pocket. What Eli will never do and never has been able to do is he'll never be up there amongst quarterbacks and leading the rush, you know, leading the position in rushing yards. Sure, that's not who he is. But give him protection, give him a plan to get him out of harm's way. And we saw him make a couple gorgeous throws, including a 3rd and 11, I believe it was, to Sterling Shepard. He hit Evan Engram up the scene. I mean, he threw some pretty balls today. Unfortunately, everybody's going to harp on, you know, the interception. A couple people are going to harp on the fact that he couldn't get him into the end zone where they had to settle for a field goal. But, you know, I thought this was one of his best games, to be honest with you, this season.
Yeah, it was a big interception by Hooker. I think it wouldn't be hard to squint. And if you gave this team a right tackle and maybe one more interior offensive lineman, and you'd say, they're going to put up a lot of points next year. I mean, with Eli. And I've been really hard on Eli over the last couple of years. But I think I would look at it as, let's bring him back with a blocker or two added to the mix. The rest of our resources spent on defense. And maybe use a 2nd or 3rd round pick on a young quarterback. I mean, if one falls you in the first round, great. But I tend to think that the most likely and probably best scenario is Eli as the opening day starter.
Absolutely. I've been saying this all along. I mean, who is out there is the better option?
Right.
You know, you can say, oh, Teddy Bridgewater. You know, do we know that Teddy Bridgewater can make it through a full 16 games, you know, after that knee injury he suffered? You know, people will say, well, what about Nick Foles? Okay, so basically you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and you're still going to have like a dead money cap hit if you cut Eli. So you're not really saving money there. Other people are saying, well, what about the draft? Draft Haskins, draft Herbert. We don't know, number one, if those kids are coming out. And number two, do you really want to throw a rookie in there, you know, without giving him an opportunity to acclimate himself? I mean, the best scenario, and I know there are going to be people out there that don't want to hear this, you bring Eli back next year, and if you get a young quarterback, let him sit and learn behind him. You know, just think about it. If the Giants had cut, you know, Eli Manning this year and had gone with Kyle Lauletta, you know, what does it tell you, the fact that, you know, Pat Shurmur elevated him to number two, he had the stinker against Washington, and then Lauletta was pushed right back down to number three. So what does that tell you?
Right. No, you're 100% right. I mean, I don't think they have the answer long-term on the roster, the young guys. And if you look at the offseason of, okay, Eli's our guy, and we're going to be wide open in the draft if one falls to us, or maybe even trade up if it goes that way, doesn't mean you can't draft Herbert or Haskins if they're happen to be there. But if you don't, you're still probably one of the better, you know, 10 offenses in the league with an offensive lineman or two.
Absolutely. You fix some of these holes. Like I said, you beef up the defense. The defense is going to be rich in pass rushers, which the Giants just don't have this year. Yeah. And like I said, you could conceivably go and be a contender.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Patricia, this was fun. Yeah, any other notes? And please tell everyone where they can find you besides the Locked On Giants podcast, which is excellent.
Thank you. You can find my work on Forbes. You can find me on themaven.net/NYGiants. You can find me on Inside Football, The Athletic New York City. And as far as any other notes go regarding this game, I think we have to give kudos to Pat Shurmur, because this team could have mailed it in once they were eliminated from the playoffs, and they didn't. They played, like I said before, like they still had something to gain. And I think you have to give credit to Shurmur for keeping them with their heads in the game and not having anybody check out. And, you know, I feel very good about the future for this New York Giant team. I think with a few personnel moves, a few decisions, they're going to make some noise next year.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And you implied it earlier, and I wanted to reiterate it. I do think the Giants have found their head coach, and that's a big step in going the right way. And Patricia, thanks so much for joining me. I'm sure we'll talk again here. Maybe it might not be until the off season, since the Giants aren't going to be in the playoffs, but I do think the future is bright in New York.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. All right. We are back with the host of Locked On Texans, Robert Land. Robert, how are you? Happy holidays.
I'm doing good. I'm just a little disappointed. It's been a rough day for the Texans.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. I mean, tough loss on the road, Demaryius Thomas injury, cornerback injuries.
Yeah, injuries, it's the worst case scenario, because it's injuries and then a devastating last second loss. I mean, if you're the Texans, it kind of couldn't have gotten any worse than it did. I mean, obviously there could be bigger injuries maybe than there were, but yeah, Demaryius Thomas is maybe done not only for the season, but for his career with this particular injury. I mean, this is so hard to come back from. And then the quarterback situation is a mess. Joseph went out of the game. He came back. Hopefully he's going to be okay. Kareem Jackson went out of the game. They got Kayvon Webster back after waiting months. And the first time he played for the Texans earlier this season, he went out after before we got to the end of the first series, and he didn't get past the end of the first series this time. You know, because it's Christmas, Matt, I just thought of a Christmas story. And if you're going to put him in a box, it would say Fragile.
Fragile,
on it,
yeah.
This has not been going too well with Kayvon Webster over the last few years with some injuries.
Yeah, and clearly that's a concern. It's not yet set of who Houston will be hosting in round one. I would imagine they'll basically rest everyone next week. Is that the plan, or?
Unfortunately, you can't.
You can't exactly.
I mean,
if you're
the Texans, here's the scenario. If they lose, then from what I understand, the Titans and the Colts face each other. Whoever wins that game, they win the division if the Texans lose, because they lose on both tiebreakers. So right now it's set up where the Texans are either the 2 or 3 seed, because they can still get the 2 seed if they win and the Patriots lose. And then either that, or they could be the 6 seed. I mean, the most likely scenario is, of course, the 3 seed. But I mean, I just can't imagine how disappointing it would be to lose next week, and after you win 10 of 11 and everything set up for you to be the 2 seed to fall all the way down to the 6 seed.
Yeah, and then you're traveling to the 3 seed, which I guess would be probably New England then. Or no, it'd probably be Baltimore or Pittsburgh or the Colts, who you know, none of those are easy places to play. Interesting, though. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, if you look at, you know, what the scenarios are, I think the best case for the Texans is, I would guess they want, I mean, of course they want the Patriots to lose and to be the 2 seed and to beat the Jags, but the best case would be
the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets, and the Jets, you know, they put up some points this week, so who knows? And the Patriots have been kind of a weird team this year. They've taken some strange L's, but if you look at it, if they win, you would want, if you were the Texans, I would think the Titans to win, because I think that would give them the lock on the 6th seed. So you don't want to face Andrew Luck with your cornerback situation, and the Titans aren't quite as scary as the Colts are.
No, especially through the air. I 100% agree. I think that's a good way of looking at it. And even Baltimore, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world. They're not a great throwing team. I think you wouldn't want to see the Steelers or the Colts with the corner situation.
Yeah, if you look at the rest of this game, Matt, and I can kind of run through it a little bit, because yeah, I know some people might have missed it.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a couple of different things. The Texans' defense, it really doesn't look good. It's not just the corners. There's a lot of holes that have been happening over the last few weeks in the secondary, and I don't know if it's just guys are not where they are supposed to be or what's going on, but the J.J. Watt has not looked like J.J. Watt the last 2 or 3 weeks. Kind of wondering if he's hurt. Clowney had an incredible game. This game was one of his best games, maybe his best game of the season. I think it probably was. But, I mean, if you look at the Texans' defense, I mean, in this game, there was 3 turnovers, and that's great. But the problem was the other times that the Eagles had the ball, it either ended at the end of the half, at the end of the game, or in points. And that's a big concern going to the playoffs, because the Texans' offense right now, the running game has disappeared. Deshaun Watson, you know, he had an incredible performance in this game. Just two big, huge touchdown drives late. Could have been the game winner if the Eagles don't come back and score there in the last second field goal. But this offense, it's not spectacular. So, you know, they were sort of hanging their hat on this defense most of the year. And the defense now, it's sort of been deteriorating in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And the injuries, they're compiling, I guess, in the secondary with the cornerbacks. But look, safeties, linebackers, there's been a lot of issues. And like I said, JJ's got to be JJ again.
Yeah, and it looks like your team's losing the war of attrition. It often happens this time of year around the NFL. It's a grind. And you mentioned Clowney was spectacular. I thought Watson was spectacular. And those things are great. But even when Watson's at his best, kind of like you mentioned, this isn't a team that's just going to outshoot you. You know, I mean, they're not the Chiefs. They're not the Rams. You know, they're not going to win shootout-type games. So they need that defense to be at least 90% of where it's been most of the year.
Right. I mean, Nick Foles, I mean, 35 of 49 for 471 yards and 4 touchdowns.
And Zach Ertz went insane.
And they never can shut down. The tight end issue with the Texans goes back from day one. If you're asking me what I want for Christmas, I want the Texans to figure out how to cover a tight end.
I want Derwin James, yeah. last thing I wanted to touch on, and I'm sure we'll be talking during the playoffs, is O'Brien was very conservative on fourth downs, and I'm just curious what your thoughts on him are overall. Big game coach, what kind of game manager is he?
Terrible, in a word.
That bad,
That's his issue, is the game management side. This game, they had a timeout. I thought, and this is something that they never do, I thought use the timeout to maybe rest your defense, and at some point in that last drive, use it then, because, you know, I'm just not, you know, sometimes icing the kicker works, and they tried the icing the kicker. Bill O'Brien never does the thing where you wait till the last second, though. He like gives the kicker, you know, plenty of leeway, because he basically tries to ice him, you know, before he's about to kick the ball. So it's like, oh, there's the, okay, we know that they're going to do a timeout or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's been a constant issue with his use of timeouts and knowing when to challenge, but specifically the timeout stuff. I want to put a little bit of pressure, though, when they're having the issues offensively on Deshaun Watson, because, yeah, it's his second year as a quarterback, but he's been in a lot of, you know, this guy quarterbacked in high school, he quarterbacked in college, he's been in national championship games. He should know also when to use timeouts on offense, but they just never use them. They never use timeouts on defense, and teams go down and they're worn out at the end of games.
And they wonder why.
It's obvious that, you know, look, I mean, there's you got a timeout. Why not use it on defense if you know you're probably not going to get the ball back?
Yeah, I think that's well said. I'm glad we touched on the O'Brien thing, because clearly in the playoffs, that's going to be a detriment if it keeps up. And I don't see a lot of inclination to think that it won't. Robert, can you please tell everyone where they can find you in addition to the Locked On Texans podcast? And then I want to just kind of run down our lineup for the week, because it is obviously an odd week with the holidays.
Yeah, my personal Twitter, it's part of my Houston Sports Talk podcast that I also do. I've been doing that for about 5 years. It's at HST Podcast. Of course, you know, we're at Locked On Texans. Like everybody else has got their Twitter. It should be easy for everybody to find. But also, we've got our website, LockedOnTexans.com. We got a few guys writing on the website doing a nice job with that. So that's a way to get in touch with us.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And for all you listeners, first of all, happy holidays. I hope you guys have a wonderful couple days here. I'm recording this on Sunday night. As I mentioned, tomorrow is Christmas Eve. If I happen to get a free half hour, I might sneak down to my basement bar and chat with you guys, just me and you. Sage will not be on, obviously, on Christmas Day. But then Wednesday, we're right back into it with Renner and then Sando and then picking games for Week 17. So, again, happy holidays to all. Robert, thanks so much for coming on. And that is a wrap for tonight's podcast. Over and out.